Good morning, everyone. How many of you have been blessed by this year's missions conference? Could you raise your hand and say, I've been blessed? Amen. There's a couple of you that are honest. You didn't raise your hand. You just haven't been blessed yet. Maybe let's put it that way. Maybe I'll ask another question. You'll do better on this one. How many of you, and be honest, you have a really good friend? You have a really good friend. You know there's someone in this world that's your really good friend. They have your back, all right? Well, more of you have friends, all right? That's good. Well, when I landed in Africa in 1995, God gave me a wonderful friend. His name is Pastor Atah Techi. When I met him, he was a young, skinny young man, and now he's bigger than I am. But as he gets bigger, he just keeps getting better as a friend. And I love him. And his wife was having their third child, and he said to me, Pastor, if it's a boy, I'm naming it after you. And so when the child was born, his wife said, my son's name is Stephen James Volante. And I said, Afia, you can't give him my last name. You have to give him your husband's last name. She says, I want him to bear your name. You and my husband are such good friends. You're like brothers. I said, please, he has to be Stephen James Techi. And so Atah was standing there saying, yeah, he has to be a Techi. And we're joking about it. And he is Stephen James Techi. Well, one day Afia went off to a funeral and left Atah home with the children. And Atah was watching the children, as the children often do. Atah's children go to my house to play with my children. And so the older two were there at my house playing with my children, and Stephen James was in the house with Pastor Atah. And Atah did not notice that Stephen had left. Stephen decided to go and find his mother. He just walked out the front gate and began walking and walking and walking, looking for his mother. Now, after work, I got in my car and I went home, and I got home, and you know, in Africa, it gets dark at 6, boom. The sun comes out at 6, boom. Goes down, boom. It never changes. We're on the equator. So you can do everything by 6 to 6, right? Well, I'm home. It's 6 o'clock. The sun is going down. My wife has dinner on the table, and I'm all excited because it's time to eat. Well, as I pull in the driveway, it starts pouring rain, so I have to hurry into the house. And as soon as I get into the house, my phone rings. And I pick up my phone, and it's my best friend. And I'm like, I was just with you. What are you calling me for? So I said, Atah, is everything okay? He says, no, I can't find Stephen. I can't find him. What would you do if your best friend called you and said, I've lost my son? Well, my dinner was ready, and it was raining out, and it was getting dark. I could have said to Pastor Atah, you know, well, my wife is just about to put dinner on the table. After dinner, maybe we'll go looking for him. Would that have been a good thing to do? No, it wouldn't have been. I could have said, you know, Pastor Atah, it's really pouring rain. Cats and dogs. We'll get wet if we go outside right now. Let's wait till the rain stops. Would that have been a good idea? What about if I said, Atah, you know what? It's dark outside, and it's dangerous out there. I mean, why? We can't go in the dark. We won't even be able to see him. So why don't we wait till the sun comes up tomorrow morning? And some of you are sitting there saying, is this guy really that dumb? No. As soon as my friend told me his son was lost, I got in my car and I went down to the office to get him. And we began going everywhere we thought he would go. Every friend's house, every member's house. And all of a sudden he said, Pastor, let's go to the radio station. We went to the radio station and we made an announcement. We described the boy, his age, and where he lived, and we don't know where he's gone. Has anybody seen him? Please call. We will give you a reward. We want our son. We were serious. We were on the radio. We made this announcement, and an hour later the phone rang, and the lady said, I found a little boy. He was in front of the hospital walking, and I stopped him and asked, where are you going? He said, I'm looking for my mother. I'm looking for my mother. He had walked more than a mile from the house looking for his mother. That lady brought the boy to the radio station. And you have never seen two happy fat men in your life before as these two happy fat men were, because we were tossing him back and forth. Stephen, Stephen, we were overjoyed. Our son that was lost, our son that was gone, had been returned to us. Because we were both afraid to tell Afia we'd lost the boy. We were afraid for our life. I mean, she left us in charge. And he's my namesake. And I want you to know Then we come to missions conference and we have a theme for our missions conference. True worship produces what? A true witness. True worship produces a true witness. Now you might be here this morning and say, you know what, I don't buy into that. Just because you put it on the screen, I don't have to believe it. And that's the way some people are. You just think, well, whoever made that up, that's their idea, but that's not my idea. Well, let's look to the Word of God, because the Word of God trumps all of our ideas. So let's go to the Word of God, because worship is the right response of a man, the right response of a man to God in the light of His amazing grace and His limitless love. What is worship? Worship is a response of man to God because of what God has done and who God is. And when we talk about true worship, can I tell you, worship isn't worship unless God receives it. If God doesn't receive it, you haven't worshiped. You might have gone to church, you might have played religion, you might have played dress up, because, you know, just because my daughters put on the Cinderella dress doesn't make them Cinderella. They're just playing play up. And so when we put on our Jesus nose clothes and we come to church and we say we're here to worship, unless God receives it, we haven't worshiped. And so I want you to see that this true worship produces a true witness. I'm going to be reading in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 5, and I'm talking about Abraham and Isaac. God said to Abraham, Abraham, go up into the mountain and sacrifice your son on this mountain that I will show you. And Abraham, we read in Genesis 22:5, it says, and Abraham said unto his young men, these are the men that went with him, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and what? Worship, and come again unto thee. Now listen, this was a test. God told Abraham to do something unthinkable, sacrifice your son. And he said to the men that were with him, in the Hebrew it's like this, I and the lad will go. I and the lad will worship. I and the lad will come again. Whilst he knows he's going to sacrifice his son. His hope and trust and faith in God was so strong that he knew Isaac would come back with him. Because the promise of God was in this boy. And God cannot fail His promise. Because it's impossible for God to fail. So true worship is seen in trust and obedience, and that which brings glory to God. And I'm telling you, Abraham brought glory to God. Because you know the response of God when Abraham did that. Turn with me in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3 is the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three men refused to worship an idol. These three men would not bow the knee. And I want you to see what happens when we refuse to worship by the world's dictates. The world says we need to do this. Kings will say we need to do this. Governments will say we need to do this. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we will not do that. And we'll see the response of what happens to true worship. In verse 28 we read, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that what? Trusted in him and have changed the king's world and yielded their bodies that they might not what? They might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Verse 29. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their home shall be made a dunghill, because, listen to this, there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. What brought those words from the lips of that king? Three obedient men who trusted God and said, listen, we trust God, we obey God. God says not to bow down. God says not to worship anything else. And we would rather go in the fire. We would rather burn than disobey our God. They had a trust in their God that brought an obedience to their God, and their obedience brought glory. Those men actually worshiped in the fire. They were worshiping in the fire because the outcome of their worship was this king glorified the name of the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let this stay in your heart. There is no other God that can deliver after this sort. That's our God. And so this is exciting. True worship always produces what? Boom! A true witness. That's the true witness. There's no other God that can save like our God. Do we need to talk about Daniel in the lion's den? Do we need to talk about the wise men that came to Jerusalem looking for Jesus? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 2:2. These wise men from the east, I believe they had been taught through the ministry of Daniel that there would be a Messiah come. I think they were taught to look for the star. These were the Magi. These were the king makers of the east. These were the men of the east that were astronomers. They would look at the stars and they would tell us things. And these men saw that the star had appeared. In Matthew chapter 2:2, we hear the Magi saying, "Where is he that is born what?" Listen, no one is ever born king. People become king. There's a coronation to become king. You're born maybe a prince. No one's born king. But can I tell you, God, when he sent his son, he made him king before he sent him. So Jesus is born king like no other man. He's born king. "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to" what? Listen, true worship will produce a true witness. And look what happens. These men say, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? We've come to worship." Jump down to verse 10. "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. And they fell down and did" what? "They worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Listen, because they wholeheartedly believed the prophecy of the coming Messiah, the Messiah is the King of the Jews, they looked for him until they found him. And when they found him, they worshipped him. And they lavished gifts on him. And you wonder how this poor Joseph and poor Mary, who didn't have a lamb to sacrifice, they had to give the turtle doves, right? How would they flee to Egypt and survive? God had a plan for his son. God had a plan for his son. He was born in humility to hide him from the eye of the devil, because the devil's proud and would never do anything humble. And Jesus was born in an obscurity. But listen, he did not go unnoticed. His star was in the sky. And wise men came to worship him. And their worship produced a right testimony of who he was. Well, you say, "Pastor Steve, that's all Old Testament. What about the New Testament?" Have you ever read about the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts? Acts chapter 8. This man had gone to Jerusalem to do what? To gamble? To make money? What did he go to Jerusalem for? Yeah, that's what the Bible says. In Acts 8:27, "And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, king of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet." Jump down to verse 36. "And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?' And Philip said unto him, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.'" Believest what? Listen to what he says. "Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.'" What a statement of faith. He went to worship. And that worship that was received by God, he bought the scroll and he said, "Oh God, I want to know you. God, I want to worship you. God, I want to love you." And God says, "Philip, go. Go to the road by Gaza and deliver the message to this man." And the man heard the message, and his true worship produced a true witness. And he says, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He's still the king, and he's recognized. And I'm telling you, when we gather together to truly worship, we will produce a true witness for Jesus Christ. This book is no ordinary book. This is alive. It's not like man's books. This is God's book. It's a holy book. And God is no ordinary God. Our God's not dead. Text back to someone who thinks he is. God's not dead. And I want you to know he's not only alive this morning, he is the source of life and salvation every single day. Can you imagine if God were to die, what would happen to us? If by him all things consist. All things are held together. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to go to college and study nuclear science and find out that everything would explode or implode if not for God. He's holding it in balance. And then they tell me, oh, the earth is hung on gravity instead of on the Word of God. And I said, please, explain gravity to me. And they said, well, that's an undefined force. Can I tell you the undefined force? It's God. Our worship is no ordinary worship. We are not here to engage in dead religion. We trust Him with our lives and our eternity. We seek to obey His commands. We desire to glorify His holy name that others would shout the same thing that Nebuchadnezzar said. There is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Can I tell you that our gospel is like no other gospel? It's not a sad message about a dead man. My message that I take to Africa is not a sad message about a dead man. And the message that we went out with Saturday out on visitation is not a sad message about a dead man. It's a glorious message about the Creator God who humbled Himself to become a man in order to die in our place and rise again in order to give us victory over sin and death. It's a message of eternal life. And I'm heartbroken when we, the children of God, know that our best friend has wrote us a letter and told us, my children are missing. My children are missing. That's what he's told us. He says, go into all the world and find my lost children for me. That's what Missions Conference is all about. This is the heart and soul of Missions Conference. I was in Africa and I took my wife on vacation with our two little children. We were at the ocean and we were playing and my youngest daughter at the time, Samantha, said, Daddy, I'm tired. I said, Mama's right up there. Go and sit with her. And I was in the ocean and my wife was just up a little ways in the sand on a chair and I didn't know my wife was sleeping. I thought she was laying there watching us, but she had fallen asleep. So I'm in the ocean with John and Rosie and we're playing and having a good time and we got tired and we came up to my wife and I said to my wife, where's our baby? And she said, she's with you. And I said, no, about 30 minutes ago she came up to be with you. And she said, I never saw her, I was sleeping. And now my wife and I are in this, you know, she was with you and she's with you and I'm dead, okay? She was with me in the ocean and I let her go up to her mother and I didn't watch her contact her mother. So she walked up and didn't see her mother and she began to look for her mother and she walked down the beach looking for her mother. And I began to think, somebody has stolen my baby. So I was getting frantic, looking everywhere, rush out to the parking lot to look to see if someone had my daughter in their car. I was rushing everywhere. I'm barefoot and I'm just running and my feet are paining me. And my wife is looking and I look down the beach a long, long way and I see a little dot on the beach a long, long way. And it looks like the bathing suit that she was wearing. And I said, that's my baby. And I took off running, and back then I wasn't big like this. I was a lean, mean, 200-pound machine. And I took off down, and I don't want to tell you what I am now, but I took off down the beach running. And people were playing football, and I didn't care. I ran between them. And people were on there. I didn't care if I got sand on them. I was going to get my baby. And as I was getting closer to my baby, some fishermen were pulling in their nets. And I tried to run and jump over the nets like I was a hurdle jumper. And it didn't work because I'm not good at that. And I caught my leg on the rope. Those ropes are really coarse. And it ripped the skin off my leg. And I fell. And as soon as I fell, I rolled back up onto my feet. And I was running. And I could feel the blood going down my leg. I didn't care. Because I had to see if that was my child. And I ran and I ran and I reached her. And I could see that it was her. I ran past her and I fell into the sand like I was going to die. She kneels over and she says, Dad, what are you doing? And I said, I'm looking for you. She says, good, help me find mom because I'm looking for her. I said, I know where mom is. Let's go back. And I held her in my arms with blood streaming down my leg. I'm the happiest man in the world. Because when she was lost, I was broken. And can you imagine in missions, that when you get involved in missions, that's what you do to the heart of God. Is there anything better than that? That your true worship, saying, God, I love you, and I know there's lost people in this world that need you. Apart from you, they're lost forever. They will burn in hell fire. And Lord, I'm going to go and look for them, and I'm going to run down the beach, and if I cut my leg, I don't care. If it's dark, I don't care. If it's raining, I don't care. If I'm hungry, I don't care, because you have some lost children that need to be found. And we need to understand the urgency of missions. That it's not out of our surplus. It's not out of our convenience. It's not out of your spare time that we go and look for His children. Because the attention you give to evangelism is the expression of your love to God. How dare we bow the knee and say, God, I love you with all my heart, when we're doing nothing to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And He says, hey, my child is lost. Help me find them. And you say, oh God, I'm very busy trying to build my little kingdom. So when I'm done and I go on retirement, I'll try to find some time to serve you. He's first. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Heavenly Father, I plead that today you would touch the hearts of your people. That we would not be cold and indifferent to you. As Brother Ramos challenged us, let us not be lukewarm, but Lord, may there be a fire in our hearts for the souls of men. One of your children is missing. And Lord, I want to help you find them. I want to bring joy to your hearts when that one who is lost is found again. We remember the story of the parable of the father who was waiting for his son to come. He ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him again and again. And he said, my son that was lost is found. He was dead and he's now alive. My brothers and sisters here at Worth Baptist Church, how much do you love Jesus Christ? Guilt is not a good motivator. Love is the greatest of all motivators. How much do you love Jesus Christ? How thankful are you that He died for you? This is our opportunity to share with the world how much we love Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I beg you today, would you come and say, Pastor, please open the Word of God and show me how I could receive Jesus Christ, that my sins might be forgiven. It would be my greatest joy this morning to come down from this pulpit and show you from the Word of God how you could receive Jesus Christ and have everlasting life, that you are the lost one, that today He says you are found. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.